welcome to Label Sessions Presents, the podcast where we talk to the most interesting people about all the things you need to know in the world of innovation, business, design, tech, and culture. I'm Fazla Niso, all the way from Cape Town, South Africa, and today we're joined by Rosie Duncan, a new label mate here at Label Sessions, as well as Nick Sherrod and Josh Nixon from the Label Sessions team. Welcome, everyone.
Hi.
I didn't know we were doing that. Hello. It's good. It's okay.
Yeah. Hello to everyone today.
It's warming us back up. I can see this.
So we'll jump right in with a little bit of an introduction to our new label mate, Rosie Duncan, a communication consultant, author, and mental health advocate who spent her career helping organizations find better ways to talk about what really matters. Rosie, welcome to the podcast. Spain and Portugal, a couple of other ones, went dark this week. The first major European blackout in decades. Planes were grounded, payments stopped, school work paused. It was over in about a few hours, but it was enough to really send the message that infrastructure failure is not really a what if. While the cause is still unknown, I know there are a couple of theories and they go from the outlandish to, you know, the more probable. How do we design for resilience when the systems we rely on can vanish overnight? And what are some of the services and products we need to be thinking about as we start switching to new and emerging tech? I think we touched on a little bit earlier, but really, how do we design for resilience, and how do we kind of build in fail safes for ourselves as we move through an ever-changing world? Unprecedented time, once again.
This is almost one where you should start, Fazlin, right? Because this is actually a thing we were talking about before, where SAF is actually quite strong. Like, we have no idea how to deal with this kind of stuff, whereas you've already kind of adapted, so to speak.
Do you think, you know, these sort of rolling blackouts and things have been part of the South African landscape for the last 14 years? And what we've really managed to do is create quite a scheduled system of them. So we have apps which announce when it's going to happen. You have a 2-hour block. Everybody is set up to sort of, homes are set up with the idea in mind, you will at some point have no electricity. So every single homeowner goes into the conversation with, maybe I should go in with solar. Maybe I should have an inverter. Maybe I should have some sort of uninterrupted power supplies, running things off of, you know, that off-grid options is just the norm here. And it has been the norm for over a decade. And so when we do have power, which is, you know, we have for the last years, we've had pretty good power supply. We still have all of those things in place. So if the power is going to go off tomorrow here, payment would go fine. We don't have a big electric vehicle culture yet because obviously we've had problems with electricity. So buses would run, the trains would run, payments would go on, the malls would function as normal. So really, this is an opportunity, I think, for Europe to look to more emerging markets in the Middle East, in Africa, where we've created entire ecosystems around what happens when things go wrong. And I certainly think that it's well worth sort of, we've certainly been giving advice on TikTok. we've made our voice heard there. But it is one of those things where really emerging markets are becoming, and we speak about this often actually, is emerging markets are becoming the place where innovation happens because there is so much room to test and grow and sort of see what works and what doesn't work. And there's also sort of a culture of being open to that. So, yeah, I think that it should be quite interesting to see what happens over the next few weeks while we find out what exactly happened with this grid failure. My personal favorite is that the vibes were just not right.
You have been on TikTok. That's like a TikTok diagnosis.
Well, apparently, I got this from a very reputable source that apparently the frequency, the vibrations sort of went out of order because it was renewable sources. So the frequency and the vibration started moving. And Josh, you can back me up here because we had this discussion. Yeah. The frequencies weren't right. And that is what they think may have caused it because coal power and those sort of things have a steady frequency that is very predictable, but renewables have a bit of changes in them that are a bit unpredictable. So yeah, the vibe's off.
It sounds a lot more authoritative when you hear it from a scientific.
That is my interpretation.
I'd rather hear it from a hippie, to be honest. I'd actually say, yeah, cool, fine, perfect. You know?
Back me up,
yeah.
I was there.
So I believe you. I promise. But
that's fascinating.
The whole
that could be why. That's something we've never thought of ever, right? Is actually these frequencies aren't quite compatible or whatever, and it's just disruptive. I mean, that's fascinating.
Yeah, it's one of the theories. We were also told very clearly if anyone says that they know what happened, they do not. That's one of the theories. The others are also, you know, obviously conspiracy theories that there was a massive cyber hack, which I think is the prevailing online theory.
Probably Elvis came back from the dead and he did something.
You know, pressed the wrong button. A lot of things happen.
But the you mentioned in TikTok there just had me going straight into the gutter thinking. Is South African TikTok like people like get ready with me while a rolling blackout happens? Kind of thing.
Yeah, no, we're busy on TikTok. We're a big TikTok nation. And I'm sure there are some get ready with me's while there is no power.
I mean, I would watch that. I made fun of it, but I would watch that. Yeah,
a surprising version for us in Europe, Rosie, that we're ending up watching South African guys say how to deal with a power outage is like 2025 in Europe. This is
Well, you know, but there's my parents would be like, "Are you kidding? We used to have power cuts all the time. I don't, you know, we would have candles, and you know, you wouldn't even need bottles of water because you could still use the tap. You know, so it's kind of like we don't panic. We know how to do this, but I wouldn't say that." I do remember them just, but anyone kind of younger than me, I guess, it just wouldn't be a part of the norm. You know, there wouldn't be. But I believe in Scandinavia somewhere. I mean, it's always Scandinavia, isn't it? Because they're the pinnacle for stuff. But there are actually recommendations for essentially packs and things that you should have in order so that when there are power cuts, because they've done the troubleshooting, they've gone, this is the ultimate thing that could happen. So why don't we prepare for it without making everything overly extreme and panicky, why don't you get several liters of water per person per day, some candles, a torch, whatever the stuff is that you need, so that, you know, maybe it's a gas canister so that you can still cook up some beans. Well, it's that kind of thing. And it doesn't seem overly ambitious to try and have some of those things in your house ready for if. And from a business point of view, I was like, okay, as long as the business isn't about saving lives and suddenly everything goes into total turmoil. And if it is, hopefully they have a generator and have thought that this might happen at some point anyway. Mm-hmm. But for businesses, like office-based businesses, this is where you go, right, well, just let's get out a pen and a paper and have a conversation and see what we can do with our brains. Old-fashioned styly, you know? And actually using pen and paper is such a more... It really sinks into the brain. You get so much more done. You can be far more creative than just sitting down and starting with a screen anyway. So, I mean, you know, I don't know what happened to landlines, but maybe we should bring them back as well.
Yeah.
They've turned into cell lines. That's what happened. Landlines here have turned into basically cell phone lines. So we don't have any landlines anymore. And I was very shocked about this. So my grandmother, who walks around with a dual SIM phone with both her cell phone number and her landline number, and just sort of wanders around the world with that. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. She can accept the landline call wherever she is. That's great.
I do think there's a wee bit, like whenever there's a big shock like this, is a bit of an opportunity for some people in it as well. And I do think it's actually quite a good opportunity on a positive side if people get behind it in the sense of the kind of home charging and solar and these kind of things as well, and different places around sort of the distribution of the power network and stuff as well. Because I think there's something, I think when things like this happen, there's almost like a cultural moment of people wanting to be more self-reliant. And even Rosie, like in the UK example, a lot of the generation that was more used to power cuts also had that alongside it. They could also do all the DIY around the house. They kind of had that kind of cultural value, like we can do, they kind of can be self-reliant. But also on a practical sense, in Spain and Portugal, at least next year, it's going to be an interesting moment as a lot of small businesses get an insurance bill next year. And having just put in a claim for 2 days out while the electricity comes down, where it'd be interesting to your point in terms of, that sort of mass moment where people will go, if you have got your own ability to keep going for a day, if you do have a generator, then the bill's going to be X. If you don't, then the bill's going to be Y, because this could happen. This can happen again. It's like, I just think, you know, the insurance industry is one of those kind of regulators nobody talks about. And that's quite often a driver of innovation around sustainability. Quite often has been that moment when someone goes, hey, there's a thing going on in the world that changes your risk profile, so we're going to charge you more. And that's, funnily enough, when a lot of businesses historically have gone, oh yeah, that might be a time to start making this adaptation, because it makes sense now.
I mean, I definitely think people talk about insurance, but people only talk about it when it goes wrong.
Yes.
I'm paying for it, but why aren't they helping me out? You know, that's the only time anybody ever thinks about it.